I would like to introduce the 22nd head coach at Michigan Tech, Joe Schott.
I am a Uper.
In front there for L'Esperance. Backhand to the front. Here's a shot! Gillies with the goal!
I love the UP.
Gould got it going on now. Big time speed coming in. Goes wide. Centers it in front. Shot! Scores! What a play by Gavin Gould!
And my heart is here.
To the blue line. Held in. The penalty is over. Shoot!
Go Huskies.
This is the Joe Schott Hour on the voice of the Huskies, Mix 93 WKMJ. Brought to you by Morty's Gas Station, Dr. Daniel Reminga of the Northern Foot Care Center in Houghton, the Kaliva Cafe, Kuna Automotive, Coca-Cola of Hancock, Bucko's Party Store, the Wickley Agency, Superior Smiles, the Michigan Tech Campus Bookstore and University Images, Peterlin Distributing, Lake Accounting and America Group Retirement Strategy Centers, and the Turbo Agency. And now with the head coach of the Michigan Tech Hockey Huskies, Joe Schott, here is your host, Dirk Hembroff.
All right, we're ready to go. 60 minutes of nonstop Michigan Tech hockey talk, and we are excited about it. What a game Saturday night. The Huskies with the victory over arch rival Northern Michigan to finish off the regular season after a tough 2-1 loss on Friday night down at the Barry Event Center. The two teams end up splitting the four-game season series, two games apiece, both winning in their home rinks, the two games. And Coach Schott is with us on a Monday morning. Good morning, Coach.
Good morning, Dirk.
Excited about... I'm excited about the way the guys played on Saturday, all weekend, but especially Saturday night in front of that big crowd, over 4,100 at the John McGinnis Student Ice Arena, to kind of salute the seniors and watch a great hockey game between two really good teams.
Yeah, I thought it was a great weekend all around of hockey. Both home teams won. Both games could have gone either way. I think that both teams executed well. And both games are very similar. On Friday night, we weren't able to get... we knew it'd come down to special teams. We had a good feeling. We talked about that prior to the game on Friday. The keys to the game we thought would be special teams. We went 0-4 on Friday night. They went 0-1. Our discipline was good. Everything that we asked our players to do on the weekend, they executed extremely well, to the best of their ability. So, we came out and on Saturday night we were able to get those power play goals, get three power play goals. Both teams had their kicks on the five on, with a five minute major. Ours didn't come at the time we wanted it to come. The third period was going extremely well for us prior to that late power play on Saturday night. But we got through it. Our guys did a great job, blocked shots. Devin made big saves, and I think the mood is good going into this week.
What were the differences in the power plays, do you think, Coach, that we were able to weren't able to capitalize on Friday night and were on Saturday night?
Well, our zone entries were better. And our possession time in the offensive zone was better. We got the puck to the net and got good screens in front. So, on Friday night, we actually had a couple of really good kicks at it, but, we just didn't have the possession in the zone like we did on Saturday night. Saturday night, we had good reads. We had good control. We attacked when we were able to get, Northern Michigan stretched out a little bit. We were able to attack on the 5 minute major we had in the second. We're ready to call a timeout at any time if we needed it to keep momentum. We wanted to keep the momentum on them and come out of that power play with momentum. And we didn't have to use it because I think we had two breakouts that we had to do in the full 5 minutes. So they were able to clear the puck twice in the 5 minutes and we were able to get a lot of pressure on and we got some good screens in front. Baltus on the one goal was a great screen. On the other goal, it was Misiak with a deflection in front. So, and then Luch was able to walk a seam at the end of our second power play there in the second period. He was able to walk the seam and attack the net and shot it short side and surprise Tolvanen. So it was just a matter of them going in, and Friday night they didn't.
What a roaring crowd, though, on Saturday night. Both venues had great crowds. Northern had a great crowd down there. But I was making a comment, and, you know, we're watching that game on Friday night down there. We're looking around and saying, you know, this is great. This is great. Northern Michigan packing the house, and, you know, it's a venomous type of atmosphere in a good way, mm-hmm. You know, not liking the Huskies. And thinking, this is really good. And then you go to the McGinnis on Saturday night, and you think, this is still so much better. I mean, just the way the atmosphere, the band, it's just, nothing against Northern, but we do have something special when our building's back.
You know, you go to Google the top hockey cities in the world, and Michigan Tech will always come up. Houghton, Michigan will always come up in the top three. They always come up. Now, the only time that they don't is when they list NHL cities. They'll list Boston or they'll list Detroit or they'll list Minnesota, but then they'll always asterisk by it and say, NCAA town or NCAA city. And, of those cities, we're always in the top three. Us, Grand Forks, throw somebody else in there. So, it's a great environment. It's a great building. The sight lines are tremendous. The renovations have been great. The staff does a great job of keeping it up and making it look right. And, it's just a wonderful place to watch hockey. That was the comments in the senior brunch yesterday. Really the only comments that involved hockey were, how great it is to play in front of the people here. So it's a fun time.
All right, well, let's take a quick look at Friday night's game, Coach. We did get on the board first, and it was Brent Baltus, who seems to have something against the Wildcats. He's had, I think, 4 goals this season against Northern Michigan, and his 10th goal of the season came at the 6:05 mark of the second period down at the Barry Event Center.
Huskies get the clear back up the center ice. Here comes Smith. Smith across the line. He's got 2 other guys with him. Here's Baltus again. He'll shoot. He scores! Brent Baltus didn't miss that time. Top shelf, short side, and the Huskies take a 1-0 lead thanks to the captain.
Well, Baltus had a couple of great opportunities prior to that, Coach. I think he hit 2 posts.
He did. He did. I think he hit 1 prior and 1 post, but I went after he scored the goal. But, you know, Brent's been unbelievable. Brent has been unbelievable this year. He has, I believe, 17 points in league in 19 games. He's almost a point-a-game guy in league play. And getting him back and getting him healthy and you know, he's had some injuries this year. He's played through some things, but, you know, he's almost a point a game guy for us in league. And, you know, he'd be 25 points in league overall had he been able to play all the games. He's been great and he's been a great leader. He's been everything we've asked for that you could have asked for. I'm so glad that it worked out that he was able to wear the C for us this year.
Absolutely. In the second period, we get outshot 12-4, but you remarked, I think, during the game and after the game, Coach, that a lot of that had to do with that one little span there where we couldn't seem to win a draw, even though we were fantastic on draws pretty much the rest of the game. We had that one little span where we couldn't win a face-off.
Yeah, and we had one on Saturday night as well where we just it was early in the game, I think, through the second period where everything that they were getting was off a face-off. So we had to bear down in that. We were able to on Saturday night. We were able to get it back. So, but they did. They got like 6 or 7 shots there in about a 5-minute span, and probably 5 or 6 in about a minute span where they won a face-off and got a shot. And they won a face-off, get to the point and get a shot. And won a face-off and get to the point and get a shot. And, you know, Devin would freeze it every time and then we just couldn't get that draw and get that possession. So, but I think we figured it out and did a much better job the second half of the game on Saturday.
2 goal scorers for the Northern Michigan Wildcats were Robbie Payne and Darian Craig. Had 2 really good hockey players, obviously. And Robbie Payne wasn't anything special, but he found a way to get that first one in.
And the Huskies able to get the clear back off the center ice. 9:50 remaining here in the period. Here's a chance for Payne. Oh! Didn't get much on it, but it went right through Devin Carroll. I don't know if this was deflected. It might have been.
Kind of a weird play to kind of break down exactly what happened there, Coach.
It was a kind of a broken play coming up through the neutral zone on a rush, and they didn't need much room. They were able to just get inside off the boards. We weren't able to keep them to the outside on the rush. Everybody was picked up. It was 3-on-3 man-up coverage on zone entry, and Robbie doesn't need a whole lot of room. The man on the boards was able to step inside and get a pass over to Robbie, and it was a quick catch-and-release shot, and I think he went 5-hole. I think it went underneath Devin. But, again, a goal scorer doesn't need much room to do it. I believe that was his 20th of the year, and it was a big goal for Northern. I thought we played well in the game. The game could have gone either way. We had our kicks at it as well. Scoring chances were virtually the same in the game both ways. Both goaltenders played well. They were just able to get that one more in the net.
I want to ask you about the game winning goal here right after we listen to
Huskies
it.
Huskies get a break. Here's Robbie Payne again. Cross the line. Shot through traffic. Rebound! They score! Well, the rebound was pumped in from the side. Shot was taken through traffic. I don't know if
if it got to Carroll or not, and then the puck laid there, and Devin didn't get have a chance to get back over there. Nice shot by Craighead. He buried it, and the Wildcats get their first lead of the game.
Can we do anything more on that, Coach? Because here we are. We have Seamus Donahue out there, makes the block, and it goes right to their guys.
Yeah, we could have actually done a lot more on that. We weren't in position to defend that play in a lot of regards on how it occurred. And we had, Cooper kind of ran into when the puck started bouncing around, he kind of ran into Devin. And so Devin wasn't able to fully get his motion and get over into position. But, and, you know, the goal was very similar. If anybody watched the Toronto Detroit game last week, very similar to the Matthews goal at the end of the game that beat Detroit with, I believe, under a minute left in the game. It was almost identical from the same spot. A great shot from a bad angle. Puck just happened to pop out to him, but we did a lot of drifting on that play that allowed them. And what happened was on that, we were coming off a power play. We'd already shortened our bench a bit, and then I thought our power play looked a little tired. Both units, we weren't able to gain the zone, we weren't able to control the puck in the zone, so we came up with a follow-up shift with some guys that hadn't seen a ton of ice time in recent minutes. And with a new pairing on D, and then they were able to make a play on us and get it to mixed up coverage on us. So we kind of roamed around a little bit in the defensive zone. It should have been, if we would have just got into our positions defensively to start with, and if the right person would have forced the puck where the puck was, we would have had some redundancy, some layering to that, and it wouldn't have happened. But still part of the learning process, still part of growing, and those are the things that you have to overcome. But our mistakes were actually in the game few. Mm-hmm. Our turnovers were down, way down in the game. So heading in the right direction, our attention to detail was much better.
One thing I noticed, a big difference from Friday night to Saturday night, Friday night down there, Coach, they seem to have that great cycle going in mm-hmm. their zone where their forward comes back, covers that point man. We see that a lot from our team too. But we seem to not let them do that so much in our building.
Well, yeah, you have to be able to kill a cycle. You know, there's two situations in hockey, defensively. There's pressure and contain. One is where the opposition has time and space, and one is where you're able to eliminate time and space. On a contained situation, such as the second goal, you first have to get into a posture that protects your heart, home base, the front of the net. You first have to protect the most vulnerable area that can hurt you. And then from that point, and we're talking about on contained now, we're talking about when you're not right on the puck, when you're not pressuring the puck, where you can start taking away options. And that's the difference in reading, and that's the difference in mental awareness and alertness, situational play. That is the difference in being able to read and trust that a guy can do his job. You can get in trouble where you do your job. We did happen on Saturday night on one play where you do your job, you go in and do your job, or the first guy doesn't do his job, like he goes in and makes contact, so the second guy goes in to help out and get the puck, but the first guy doesn't tie up, so a play still made. You know, there's different ways that you can break down. On Saturday night, the main focus going in was to kill that cycle. Where it was so evident was when there was a delayed penalty, we were on a power play, and quickly into it, Gavin Gould was getting a delayed penalty on a holding call. And they played with the puck for a minute. And they got the goalie out, but still it was 5-on-5 with the goalie out, and they just played on it and killed time off of our power play before theirs started. And that's again situational awareness, understanding, because like I said, one of the players came to the bench and said, "Coach, they pulled their goalie." I know, son, they pulled their goalie, but that only they were shorthanded, and then it was like, oh, the light hit. That's being into the game, that's being aware, that's understanding the situation, and you have to be able. The first guy has to be able to do his job and kill the puck. But it starts with being allowed to create pressure situations versus contain. You know, if guys are slow getting back, various things cause up teams to have time and space. You have to first count numbers and make sure you have coverage, you have redundancy, you have layering, you have backup, and then you can pressure. And the sooner you get backup, and the sooner, or even man situations where it's a 3-on-3 or something like that, like on the Payne goal, that was a pressure situation entering the zone. We should have been on that quick and not let the guy off the boards, and we should have been right into Robbie Payne. We weren't. He didn't need much room. They created a little room, and he was able to score a goal. Good players are going to do that. It happens all the time in the NHL. but you still got to work on not letting it happen to you. So the difference was we were able to create more pressure situations. We did a better job pressuring the puck. We did a better job stick on puck and things like that. And part of it is also being a smaller rink where you have more time. Northern Michigan is used to using that support ice on the outside. It's a bigger rink. It's a 200-foot arena. It's Olympic size sheet. It's wider. So they utilize that in that. So but Saturday in our rink we were much better at it.
All right, so the final score on Friday night, 2-1 in favor of the Wildcats, and we'll take a look at Saturday night's big game at the John McInnes Junior Ice Arena in front of over 4,100, and that's all coming up in the Joe Schott Hour. Get your questions in by emailing them to me, dj@themix93.com.
In sports, movement is a force to be reckoned with. Your feet fuel that force. At Northern Foot Care Center, Dr. Remingen knows how to treat athletes, getting them back in action sooner. When your feet feel good, performance increases. Games are won and records are crushed. You want answers? We have them. Technology cutting edge. Experience over 28 years. Results game changing. Pro sports teams have the best foot and ankle experts. Now you have one. Call 482-9950 or click northernfootcare.com.
I like my burger with mustard.
No, mustard and ketchup. And a Coke.
Got to be well done.
Only medium rare, come on.
I only want grass-fed beef.
No, Angus.
On the grill.
No, flat top.
You want a homemade veggie burger?
With a Coca-Cola.
Iceberg lettuce.
No way.
Avocado, dude.
Arugula.
Nah, jalapeno.
Can I have a turkey burger?
But turkeys are for Thanksgiving, man.
Burger with a Coke.
Brioche.
No, sesame seed.
Just a regular bun.
American cheese.
Nah, man, you gotta go with Swiss.
No, cheddar.
Gotta use both hands.
No, one hand.
And wash it down with a Coke.
My burger is best with a Coke.
Every burger needs a Coke.
Coke and a burger.
An ice cold Coke.
I'll agree to that.
A burger and a Coke.
It doesn't take a step-by-step recipe or even a plan to make a delicious meal. It doesn't take a freshly starched apron or an official foodie degree from social media. It just takes an ice-cold Coke, delicious food, and good friends. So whip up a meal, however you like. Grab some ice-cold Coke from your local supermarket and taste the feeling today.
Tax time is here. Let the tax professionals at Lake County prepare and e-file your income tax return. The Affordable Care Act, identity theft, the earned income credit and education credits are just a few of the reasons you need the services of the tax professionals at Lake County. Lake County will ensure that you receive all the credits and deductions that you are entitled to. Lake County is ready to relieve the stress related to tax preparation. Call 482-2370. That's 482-2370. Lake County, located 1 mile west of the Copper Country Mall, Houghton.
Steph from the Wickley Agency. From the moment she was born, I promised to love her, to protect her from all of the monsters under her bed, and to support her in all of her dreams. From the moment she was born, I promised that I would always provide for her, no matter what. That's why I bought life insurance from Auto Owners Insurance, to secure her future, no matter what. Do you have the life insurance your family needs? Give us a call at 482-1140 or stop by the Wickley Agency in Hancock.
Back to the Joe Schott Hour here on Mix 93 WKMJ. Hey, let's talk about a big game on Saturday night. What a crowd. 4,100. 4,117 was the crowd at the John McInnes Student Ice Arena. One of the biggest of the season, if not the biggest. And the Huskies come out with a 3-2 victory. Just a great vibe, even in the pregame coaching that. I just felt very excited. You know, television's there. You got radio covering. You got the last game of the season. And even though there wasn't a whole lot standings-wise or everything else to play for between the two teams, there still looked like there's a lot to play for.
There's always something to play for when you're playing against Northern Michigan and it's a rivalry game. It was a tremendous atmosphere, from the band. I could hear the band in the locker room before the game started. It was, it's senior night, so the focus was on the seniors, on allowing them to end their careers at home with a win. That's a big deal. You know, like, I remember my senior night. I remember it's a big deal. It's something you remember forever, and you don't want that to be spoiled. That memory for a group that's had such a great career here, had been part of, so many big opportunities, so many big moments here in our arena and with this team during their career. So it was a great night.
You know, 2 years in a row now where, and it's not necessarily a good thing for this year, but we knew this was going to be likely the last game here. And we knew when that championship game came, that we won in double overtime, that was going to be the last game for the seniors at home. So for those two, you know, classes to have wins like that. It is pretty special.
Yeah, and to win your last game at home is great.
It wasn't a good start for the Huskies, at least on the scoreboard. Two power play goals for the Northern Michigan Wildcats.
And they'll settle it down. Ballou fakes the shot. So far, Michigan Tech doing a great job on this penalty kill. Rockwood up top. Ballou fakes the shot. Loggins will shoot, scores. Right through. Nice shot by Loggins. Oh, Loggins taunting the crowd here. And it's a 1-0 lead for the Wildcats.
Well, he certainly was the go-to guy all weekend on that play. And, I won't be saying that we're doing well on the penalty kill anymore before, because I obviously jinxed it as soon as I said that, but he has a great shot.
How often does that happen?
Too often.
Great job on the penalty kill scores. But you know, that might have set up some things later, because when they had the 5-minute major, they were going to the same thing that they were doing there. Loggins had three or four or five, chances where he scored. We blocked him. Devin stopped him. Ballou up top, same thing with the one timers. We blocked him or Devin stopped him. So, we played a good first period. Went in, told the guys that. I said, fellas, you played a good first period. You know, they scored on two power play goals at, a deflection in front by Denver Pierce and a one timer by Loggins. And we want to get those blocks if possible. We want to get those stops if possible, but we didn't get them on that one. We didn't give up anything. Only one scoring chance outside of the couple of, goals that they got on the period. So we did a good job on the period and it was a matter of getting back in it. More concern is where you're going to get is where we came out in the second period. I thought we came out expecting this game to get away from us for the first few minutes of the second period. You know, we for some of our top players who have been playing well, turned the puck over and we hadn't been turning the puck over and things like that. And so that was, I actually thought at a point about calling a timeout at that point and getting the guys together. But we just said to him on the bench, fellas, listen, you know, we're a good team too. Let's just stick with it. Stick with what's working. We're getting the possession of the puck. Let's just stick with the success we're having and see, take this thing where it goes. And then we were able to get our power play, which I'm sure you'll lead into now and get the puck in the net.
Yeah, we go to the second period down by two. Philippe Ballou goes in the box for a hooking call at the 3:09 mark. And Brent Baltus gets a redirect. I had no idea he had touched this puck.
Up top now. Yeah, the Huskies move it up now. Stamen off of the board. Says it'll be too far ahead for L'Esperance. Klimek, though, not able to pick it up. And the Huskies get down there. Baltus kicking it to his backhand. To the point now for Stamen. Huskies will set it up on the power play. Here's Burks over for Reitmeier. Back up to Burks. Shot scores! Dane Burks with the goal right through on the one-timer from Reitmeier. And it's a one-goal game.
And the 100th time I'm wrong this year. That is Brent Baltus they gave credit to, as he got a redirect right in front at the 4:01 mark.
Yeah, and you know, the seniors, mm-hmm. you know, and what a great job, you know, with how beat up, how young and things. What a great job Mark Ock and Dane Burks have done, especially in the second half here, especially down, you know, early in the year, really good Ocker was the top player MVP, I believe, out of the icebreaker. Got banged up. Fought through it for the first, you know, for the last two thirds of the first half of the year, got healthy over the break, and he's been incredible since the break has started. And in Burks, he's been absolutely phenomenal. So, our seniors did a great job. They were involved in that. Stamen was involved in that, I believe, with an assist as well. Kept the puck in the zone. So what a phenomenal play by those guys. Now that got us back in the game and that got us some energy. So, there's turning points in hockey games, and that was certainly the one for us.
Connor Franti goes off for a minor penalty, a checking from behind. And, this set the power play up again for Michigan Tech. My favorite goal on the weekend, Jake Lucchini.
Lucchini now will take it across the line on the power play for 22 more seconds. Takes a whack, gets it back to the point for Donahue. Huskies able to set it up here. 17 seconds here. Here comes Lucchini walking in. He'll shoot, scores! Wow! Jake Lucchini said, I'll do it myself. Walked right in and he buried it. Tied 2-2 on a power play goal.
He is so deadly from that, in between the hash marks there, or in between the dots, and when he gets to that forehand, he just rifles it.
Yeah, he does it. Actually more accurate from the other side, mm-hmm. but that was a great shot, and he shot it short side. I watched it again this morning, and I thought he went far side with it, and I think that Ate Tolvanen thought he was going far side with it, but he went short side. It was a big goal. They gave him a seam. Situational awareness. He knew what was left on the clock. He knew what was going on, and he took it. He took that opportunity and walked the seam. They backed off on him a little bit. He looked off the point, turned, attacked the net right away, and made a great shot. And it was just a great goal. We needed it. 2-2 game. Now we're in a dogfight, and we're right where we want to be.
And the crowd is in it. Now the crowd is really in it. Seamus Donahue and Mark Ock get the assist on that goal. We score again on the power play. Justin Misiak at the 13:09 mark. This gave the Huskies a 3-2 lead at the John McGinnis Student Ice Arena.
Seamus able to control. Donahue back up top now for Mark Ock. Over for Donahue. He'll shoot. Scores! It's in the net! I don't know if Misiak got that or not, but Donahue took the shot. Another power play goal for the Huskies, and still plenty of time on the major penalty.
Misiak's really getting good in front of that net with that eye.
Yeah, and that's a great call by Brooksy on that, because we have two small guys in front of the net with Gavin, who, and they both release and do some other things, but they got good sticks in front of the net. They're giving us screens. They're playing with courage in there, so a huge goal. And that whole power play, that 5-minute power play, we kept the heat on them the whole time. Tolvanen made some great saves in that time. Each team, I believe, had 13 or 14. Maybe 15 shots of their shots were on the power play.
13 and 13.
Yeah, and I think and both teams had 5 power plays. We were 3 for 5, and they were 2 for 5. So that was the difference in the hockey game. It came down to special teams. I thought 5-on-5, we played extremely well. I thought we played tight all weekend. 5-on-5, we didn't give up a ton. On that, very few scoring chances outside of the 5-on-5, so that bodes well for us going into Bemidji. Turnovers down, hits up, the 5-on-5 play is good, special teams are contributing, so and we're getting goaltending, so all the things that you want to have happen going at this stage of the year. Everybody's 0-0. Everybody's 0-0, and we've beat three. We've split with the top 3 teams in the league in 6 games over the past 4 weeks, so going in Bowling Green and against Bemidji, and now against Northern Michigan. Those are 3 of the top 4. So we feel good. I think we're riding some confidence right now. I think the guys are buying in to what's going on. They're talking. They're being attentive, and they're learning. It's a learning curve. We have a good boost, a good trajectory going in the right direction. So feel good right now.
Grayson Reitmeier gets whistled on a boarding call, a 5-minute major towards the end of the game, as we talked about earlier, Coach. And what a tremendous job by not only Devin Carroll but all of the penalty killers that had to go out there and really go to war for that last for the last 6 minutes of the game.
Yeah, you can look at that two ways. You wonder where that is all the time. You know, but with it on the line, it was there. And, you know, it's not easy to, you know, we talked after the game. It's not easy to sit there and block a shot. I mean, I blocked hundreds of thousands of them in my lifetime. And it doesn't always feel good, I'm going to tell you. But our guys laid down in front of pucks. They went in the corner and battled and got the puck out. And Devin was absolutely phenomenal. He had to make two really good saves, one on Rockwood walking in and one on a backdoor by Loggins, one backdoor one timer, like the one he scored on. And Devin actually made that save look easy. So, actually, we had one more too where Blue one timed it and Devin opened up a little bit and had to get it with his glove hand and then cover a scramble in front. So, he gave us the saves we needed. He's done that now. He's done that at Winter Carnival. He's done that here. I'm happy for him. I'm happy for the confidence that he's gaining. I'm happy. He deserves it. This kid's worked extremely hard for 4 years, extremely hard and worked through, you know, adversity and earned his opportunity and he deserves to be the guy right now to ride it and take us where we're going to go.
Here's one of those saves towards the end of the game.
Watching as Loggins sent it back to you. Blue! Oh, Blue mishandled it and still held it in. Rockwood with a shot. Glove save by Devin Carroll. Oh, was that a stop? That's a position save by Devin Carroll. Didn't have to move much, but made the stop.
So Devin Carroll with the win for the Huskies in goal. Final shots were 36-29 in favor of Michigan Tech. Huskies were 3 for 5 on the power play. Huskies had a 5-minute major advantage on one of those. Northern Michigan 2 for 5 on the power play. They also had a 5-minute major advantage towards the end of the game. Ate Tolvanen with 33 saves. Devin Carroll with 27. Just a great game all the way around. And faceoffs, Michigan Tech actually losing the faceoff battle slightly. 36 wins for Michigan Tech. Again, it was Dylan Stamen taking a lot of draws for Michigan Tech. Wasn't as sharp as he was the night before, but 41 wins for the Northern Michigan Wildcats and a big victory for the Huskies going in. And Coach, you mentioned guys like Jackson getting back in at least for one game and Smith getting in for a couple of games towards the end of the regular season. That will be key, right, going down to Bemidji State?
It's huge to get that. That was our, offensively, our top line in the first half of the year. And Jacko came in and gave us, I mean, right off the bat, two scoring chances with that powerful speed he got. He walked in on goal. So, Smitty helped, you know, we joked in, on Saturday morning during our video stuff that, I said, Baltz, I bet you're sure happy to have you back. And Smitty says, yeah, he is. I know that. You know, in front of the group, everybody got to care. Yeah, he is. He's really happy. And then Baltz said, well, it's all right. It's all right. But yeah, it's big to have that line back together. It gives us balance and it puts people in spots that they should be, through the whole depth of the lineup. It puts Ray Brace where he's going to be most beneficial towards us. And it does a lot of things to our lineup. So now we have the lines that when we were, you know, at our best playing together, everybody's hungry. We have a lot of young D that got a lot of good minutes, during this year, a lot of young D that got a ton of good minutes, through injuries and things like that. You know, we've had injuries to defensemen. They played through injuries. We've had to do different things. So, right now I feel good about our team of where they're at mentally, the attention to detail. You know, the biggest thing we've tried to address with our group, the number one thing we've tried to address with our group is that mental toughness. And right from day one, that mental toughness, that attention to detail, that focus, because that's the only way you can do what we want, which is get better. You know, we talk, I don't put the pressure on these guys. The winning will take care is a byproduct of that. But we played good hockey games this year and run into goaltenders that have been, you know, we make some look really good and some have played really well. You know, some have played really well. Ferris has had some incredible performances against us, where they just robbed us of a couple of wins. As did Anchorage. Mantha was extremely good there. But what we want is we want to show the growth in the struggle, the hard part of the practices, the game simulated part. I've been around enough championship teams to see the difference in how teams practice. You know, we talked about with my first year here with Tanner Carroll, with those guys, we never had a bad practice the entire year. It's the first time I think I've ever been around that where we never had a bad practice. If we came out a little bit slow, we always got it going. The guys always got it going, and that was a great team. And I've been with other teams that have gotten to number one in the country and been around teams that won national championships. And the parts of the practice that they need to be good at, the grind part, the game simulation, the forechecks, you know, part of it, the D zone cover part of it, the transitional part of it, the offensive zone play part of it, the part that's actual hockey, they're really good at those parts. The stuff before that, like the warm ups, the flows, the things like that, I don't even watch those. I don't pay attention to those. I watch goalies during that, because they're stopping pucks and they're getting, they're getting a lot of tough shots. So you're watching them. How do they feel? How are they reacting? Are they fighting the puck? Are they seeing it? Does the puck look big? But the game part of it, when I'm judging who's going in the lineup and who's playing, it's all the struggle part of the practice. And you want to see the execution in that part. That's where you're setting them up to be able to experiment, to try things, to figure out what works and what doesn't. And to figure out what time, you know, you can play around with those drills and say, okay, 2 minutes left in the game or last five or last ten. You know, you can play it differently where you're allowing them to take more chances. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But they first have to understand part of what we had so early in the year where we complained so much about the turnovers and things is trying to make plays that you shouldn't be making on the road in the first period when you want to have a good start. You know, you understand what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, it's situational. It's understanding the game. You know, trust your forecheck, trust your neutral zone D, trust your D zone cover. Don't force things. That's what you do when you're down. You tell guys you're going to have to take some chances, deep pinch. You know what I mean? And they're going to naturally try to take chances to create offense when they're down by a goal or two late in the game. But it's not the time to do that early. You got to live and fight another day, and that's the chess of hockey. That's the game of chess. You watch an NHL game, and an NHL game a lot of times doesn't look as fast as a college game. It obviously is, but what it is those players bust their butt to get into position, and then they do their job, create and eliminate time and space, read pressure and contain. And then when they get the puck, they explode. That's where the explosion comes in. And then the other team has to work hard to get into defensive position. Then they slow down and do their job. We have to make sure we don't do it opposite, where we're busting our butt, chasing pucks around and doing those things, and getting ourselves out of position that we have to recover. And, you know, we have to make sure we play it the way pros play. And right now I think we're getting much better at that and not creating turnovers and things that are causing that panic.
All right, Coach. Well, let's take a break. We'll be back. We've got a lot more coming up on the Joe Schaan Hour, including your questions. Also, we'll preview the series against Bemidji State in the first round of the playoffs. We'll also get Coach's thoughts on the other matchups in the first round of the WCHA playoffs. It's all part of the Joe Schaan Hour right here on Mix 93.
You can always count on the crisp, refreshing taste of Bud Light, just like you can always count on Just-In-Time Jane. She's rescued you from more bad dates than you want to remember. Close-talking Clyde, lied about his height, Larry, and lest we forget, whispering Walt. He was probably a nice guy if you only heard a single word he said. Just-In-Time Jane is famous among friends. She deserves a Bud Light. Enjoy responsibly. Bud Light Beer, AB St. Louis, Missouri.
Whether our Huskies are on the turf, the ice, or the hardwood, show your Michigan Tech home team pride by sporting Husky apparel from University Images, the campus store, or online at bookstore.mtu.edu. If souvenirs are your game, we've got you covered there too. We're sure you'll find exactly what you're looking for when you visit us in person or online. Check our campus store and University Images social media feeds for our latest store news, promotions, and operating hours. Your support goes directly back to the local and campus communities. And always, we thank you for your patronage.
Buckos loves giving the community a great place to shop with amazing deals. So come show your party store some love back. All six packs of bottled beer is on sale. All 2 liters are 2 for $3. All High Drive and Outlaw energy drinks are only 99 cents. All 32-ounce Powerades are $1. And Kickstar energy drinks are 4 for $4. Pick some Wild Game jerky and Mackinac Island popcorn. And don't forget your Valentine's Day wine, liquor, and lottery tickets when at Buckos on 5th Street in Calumet. All sales do not include taxes and deposits.
Not everyone has $1 million, but everyone can have $1 million smile. The smile that lights up a room, instantly puts people at ease. The smile that gives you the confidence to be you. Your smile is uniquely yours. Treasure it. Protect it. Superior Smiles, gentle quality dentistry for the entire family. With pediatric dentist Sarah Metlack, Doctors Fisher, Sarazen, Strong, and Sliss. Superior Smiles Family Dentistry in Hancock. And now in Lorium on 77 3rd Street. Call today for your appointment. 482-3621 Hancock, 337-5049 Lorium.
Taco, Taco Man, you know I got to be a Taco Man. I said Taco, Taco Man, yeah.
You can be a Taco Man at Joey's Seafood and Grill in downtown Houghton with their fish tacos starting at $2.99. And in minutes, you can be a Taco, Taco Man too at Joey's Seafood and Grill, where it's easy to be a Taco Man.
Joe Schaan Hour continues here on Mix 93 on a Monday morning. And I've got a question for Coach Schaan. You can email it to me, dj@themix93.com. Taking on Bemidji State, Coach. We don't play Bemidji State all season long. Then we play them in Winter Carnival, split with them, have a great series, especially that Saturday night. And then now we got to play them in the first round of the playoffs down there. And these two teams, I like the way we match up against them. I'd say this as a fan looking at this series. A lot of fans would probably say this is a coin flip going into this weekend series. I happen to think we have a little bit of an advantage the way we're playing right now.
I think it's going to be a great series. I think it's going to be fun. Both they're well coached. They have good speed. They have incredible goaltending, which will be which we'll have to get past. You know, we were able to chase him the last time we played him, but he's player of the year in the league last year, Hobie Baker finalist. Had 41 saves, I believe, Saturday night in a shootout win over Mankato, which was a big win for them going into the playoffs. Right. So they have all the Fitzgeralds are back. One of them didn't play.
Jerry was not
in the lineup when we played them. And Harris, I believe, only played one game. So they're like us, and they're getting some guys back in the lineup now and have that which improves your depth. It improves everything you do. Especially when it's a guy like Jackson for us and Jerry Fitzgerald for them. So, it should be a great series. It should be a fun series. The good side is Bemidji's virtually got the same record at home as on the road. So, you look at Northern Michigan where their record is, they have two home losses
That's
all
it.
Year. And you look at Mankato. I mean, those teams are so good at home. And Bemidji's a tremendous hockey team. So, but it should be a fun series. We're looking forward to it. We're excited about the matchup, and I believe that Bemidji will be as well.
You always have a different kind of texture to the whole thing when you have a best of three series. You go in. How do you approach that Friday night game, Coach? I mean, do you look at it as a must win, especially on the road?
I think the playoffs are all must win. You obviously have to manage minutes in case you go three games and do those things. But I think they're all, I mean, this is the playoffs. Momentum's everything. You get that first one, you ride a goaltender, you get that second one, you know. So we're going to go in and play like we play every other game. And you know, we're still trying to put things together as a team. We're still trying to grow. It's very important for, to win a playoff series. It means a lot for young kids, for freshmen and things, to win a playoff series, to go through that and have success in it. So we want to have as much success as we possibly can and come out of it. You know, you don't want to look ahead, but I think there's a chance there could be an upset somewhere in the playoffs, not necessarily Mankato, although it could happen with Alaska, but you know, I think that Ferris is a team capable of going down and giving Bowling Green a good series. Mm-hmm. I think that and in Huntsville and Northern, Huntsville's a good
split. They split the regular season.
It's a good hockey team. Yeah. So, but it would be great if something were to happen and we could and not play Mankato that second round, but match up against Northern. If Ferris could have some success and then have that have that reseeding done, and then Ferris has to go to Mankato. I just think for the fun of, like, with the environment we had last weekend, I just think it'd be just a great UP series to be able to play against Northern Michigan. I'm not taking away from the capabilities Northern has. They're a tremendous hockey team. I'm not saying that I wouldn't rather play Bemidji but what I'm saying is just the fun that we had last weekend. Both teams would travel. Bands would travel. I think it'd be just a lot of fun to play them sometime in a playoff series.
Coach, we see Keegan Ford around the ice, rooting on the guys. How great of a, it's kind of a rhetorical question, but how great of a teammate has he been through all this? Cause he just seems to be right there rooting the guys on. He's on the ice, for the senior night and just seems to be.
He's a rink rat. That kid's, he's the son of a coach. His dad played college hockey. His dad coached college hockey, Wisconsin, Northern Michigan. Keegan has a brother who plays at Wisconsin. They know the game. And he knows it. Like, he's like, every comment Keegan makes to you about hockey is right on. Mm-hmm. He's a fierce competitor. You know, I've said before that I remember going and watching him when he wasn't committed to Wisconsin yet. He was close to it. And his first trial camp, he was 16 years old or so in Dubuque, and he fought three times the first game. He fought a kid, got out of the penalty box during the scrimmage, fought again, and then another guy wanted to fight him later, he fought again. And I mean, he's as competitive as they come, and he's all in. He's 100% all in. He's a tremendous kid. It's great having him around. His enthusiasm and his love of life. He's a tremendous guy to have around our group.
One of the guys we haven't heard a whole lot about due to injury is Alex Gillies, and we saw him obviously on senior night. Can you tell us about him? Is he not? Do you think he's not going to be able to go at all here?
I would say no. I would say no. I mean, that's the medical question, but he hasn't even been able to skate in so long. You know, we're certainly not going to do anything that's going to do anything for him long range in his life. So, I would say no. And I don't think in his mindset he's looking. I think right now he just wants to get healthy.
Well, we got Ray Bryce back. We've got, Jackson back and Smith back, this last weekend. And just watching Smith out there Smith too, but Jackson in that line was so much fun. Will these guys, you feel, be more, be closer to 100% this weekend? I know that not everybody was quite there this past weekend.
Well, that was the talk with Jake when Jake was cleared to play for Saturday. He went out try it. When he was cleared to play, then the discussion is, okay, where are we at with it? Is it better for him to play to get his feet under him. Like, remember the first game Baltz played, he did a great job for us, and Jackson went out and he got us through that game. But he was, you know, he'd been out for a while, and that game set him up for the next game really well. And I'm talking about Baltus. So the thought was, okay, what are we risking here? Because when we really need him is next weekend. This game, you know, it didn't mean anything. Other than senior night. But what is best? And the medical staff felt that it was best in the long range, for his, you know, for his mental well-being, to be able to be productive next week. I think it was best for him to play, so we played him, and he did an extremely good job for us. He's just a player that has an element with that power and that skating that not many guys have. I mean, as soon as you see him take off with that puck and you just read the gap on the defenseman or on anybody, you're like, something could happen here, because he just has unbelievable power. And I mean, he's a speed skater. He looks like an Olympic speed skater. He's got big legs and I mean, he's a deep stride. He's just powerful and extremely fast, and he takes the puck hard to the net. So, huge element to have.
Can we talk at all about Ranky and what you know about him? I know he's still out, but do we know anymore?
We don't know anymore. He's not skating, that's a medical thing. I'm sure if he could play, he would try to play, but then the most important thing, and I know Brian Brewster's great at this, Doc Trusok's great at this, they're not going to do anything at any time to risk anything down the road. So we've got a lot of minutes in without Mitch. I mean, would you like to have a Hobie Baker candidate, a guy with 20 points, you know, that's been out for a month and, you know, could have 25, 26, 27 points for you on the blue line, gives you that stability, gives you that one more player in the back end? Would you like to have him? Absolutely, unless you don't like a guy that's a great hockey player. I mean, but absolutely, we'd like to have him back, but that's a medical decision. A
couple of questions for you, Coach. The first question is, who will be back next year? And there's been a lot of, I think, not miscommunication, but difficulty to find out. We have guys listed as juniors and guys listed as seniors that might be coming back. This person mentions Devin Carroll, Burks, Gillies, Blacklock, Anderson, Stamen. Is there anything you can comment on if any of these guys would be back?
I can comment that Gillies cannot come back. He's played in all. He does not have a red shirt year. I believe the other players that were mentioned could all come back. They do have a opportunity where they could come back with the amount of games they played and when they played and things like that. You know, I don't know if I want to go any further. I mean, I don't know. There's only one that has indicated an interest, or there's a couple have indicated an interest in coming back. Birksie we're quite certain is going to get an opportunity to sign. You know, Pittsburgh has been following him. Pittsburgh's really liked him. Actually, they got to say, here's the beauty of hockey. They see us in that game against Bowling Green. They send their big guy, Billy Guerin, in. And they come to see Dane play, and after, they love our team. That 4-0 win, we went out there, we banged with them nose to nose, we competed with them, we did everything that a hockey team could do. We beat them 4-0 on their senior night down there in a good hockey game for us, a great team builder for us. And they love us. Now they're inviting guys to camp. You know what I mean? To camp. So underclassmen, which is great. And then you say the message to our guys is, okay, what was the difference in that game, fellas? Then what is the difference? I know what you're saying, Coach. Yeah. But to want to do that every night, you know, and compete like that every night is the difference. So, guys could come back. Devin has indicated to us in the past that he's looking at, you know, potentially doing some other things, so we're moving on, and I think Dylan Stamen has an ability to come back. It's if he were to want to, you know, he's a four point grade point student in engineering with a lot of offers to do things. I know he's had a great, enjoyable year. His love for the hockey, for the game is reinvigorated, much as Baltz has been. So. He could, and I think that probably about covers it.
Coach, next question is, what kind of emotions were you going through as each senior came onto the ice after Saturday's game?
I love these guys. I love them, whether or not I recruited them. I'm 100% vested in them. You know, the amount of time, that's the part that I miss most. And that's the part that, you know, I'm talking to some parents, this weekend. You know, you have these guys that you, I was the go-between guy. I was the guy that they would come to with their deals, you know what I mean? On the coaching staff. Now, obviously, Tyler Shalas and Brian Brewster are their main, psychological, you know, they're the guys with the Charlie Brown 5-cent advice stand set up in it. But when hockey related stuff and things and doing video and all that stuff was, I was the guy that they came to. When you're the head coach, they don't want to show vulnerabilities. And our freshmen now, they pick their assistant coach that they feel the most comfortable with going to and things like that. The part I miss most is that one-on-one time. I spent a lot of video time with Mason Blacklock, with Evan Anderson, with, you know, and a lot of one-on-one time, you know, talking to these guys with Dane, with Mark Ock. I mean, Mark Ock, man, he was going to leave freshman year. You know, he wasn't playing the first half of the year. He was going to go back to juniors. And we talked, Mel, our motto here is the best guys play. You know, Mel, let's give this guy, tell Mark, because he's going to go back to juniors. And let's tell him we'll play him at least a game at the GLI. We'll play him at least a game at Wisconsin after the GLI. If you don't like him and you don't think he's going to play, and if he's not happy, then he can go, and because he's not coming back. If he leaves, he's not coming back. Well, we played him, and from that point on, he ended up second in the country in plus minus behind Eichel. He was phenomenal. Mm-hmm. That first year, I mean, he didn't have to defend because he'd get the puck to forwards with his great ability, you know, to Tanner and those guys, and the puck never came back in our zone. So, he was phenomenal. So the amount of time you spend with these guys is incredible. The amount of time I spent with Devin, you know, on the ice, I mean, he said it, the hours, you know, hundreds of hours. You know, that you're spending it every two times a week or three times a week in goalie sessions or, you know, and with him more than that, like sometimes four times a week, you know, in the last few years. So you're totally invested in them. You love them all. You want the best for all of them. It was very emotional. It was, you know, I was fighting it back for sure. When with parents, you know, looking at them and talking to them, it's tough. It's tough you know, it's just like your own kids. How happy are you when they move out? Like that, some people can't wait for the kids to get out. Others are like, you can stay forever. You know what I mean? I'm the type of guy that they could stay forever, but you know that they got to branch out and they have dreams and you just hope that you help prepare them to chase those without enabling them, you know, without making excuses for them, with being very honest with them and helping them work through and letting them know that these tough things will help you in life and how proud you are of each accomplishment they have.
Great job by Cal, once again, doing the video too, putting all that stuff together for the seniors. Short break. We'll be right back with more of the Joe Schaan Hour.
Sports movement is a force to be reckoned with. Your feet fuel that force. At Northern Foot Care Center, Dr. Remingen knows how to treat athletes, getting them back in action sooner. When your feet feel good, performance increases. Games are won and records are crushed. You want answers? We have them. Technology cutting edge. Experience over 28 years. Results game changing. Pro sports teams have the best foot and ankle experts. Now you have one. Call 482-9950 or click northernfootcare.com.
Are you frustrated with the rising cost of insurance or concerned you might not have the right coverage? Hi, I'm Marcia Franti of the Turvo Agency in Hancock. Whatever your situation, single, raising a family, or happily retired, we can help you put together an insurance package that both fits your budget and provides the insurance protection you need and deserve. As an independent agency that represents many insurance companies, we offer more choices, more options, more security, and more peace of mind. Put the Turvo Agency to work for you at 482-0080.
The Kaliva Cafe, Quincy Street in Hancock, has been serving great food for generations 7 days a week with homestyle service and huge portions. They have a tasty menu for everyone with all homemade food, including pasties, soups, hot and cold sandwiches, Italian cuisine, pizza, breakfast served all day, and the best coffee around. Enjoy a Sunday turkey dinner with all the fixings for only $9.95, as well as daily lunch and dinner specials. Hours at the Kaliva Cafe, 7 till 9, Monday through Saturday, and Sundays 8 till 9.
Your local Carfax Advantage dealer, Kumna Automotive, across from Walmart in Houghton, has announced a huge inventory reduction sale on all their in-stock cars, trucks, vans, and SUVs. Save thousands on a broad lineup of quality, clean, pre-owned vehicles, selectively chosen, thoroughly inspected, and guaranteed for your utmost satisfaction. Stop in today and take advantage of the amazing sale prices on the cleanest pre-owned vehicles you'll find anywhere. That's the big inventory reduction sale going on now at Kumna Automotive, a family-owned automotive center on the business strip in Houghton. 482-7988 or go to KumnaAutomotive.com.
Another question for you, Coach. Does Coach plan on bringing in a goalie next year?
Yes, at least one. Yep.
All right. So this, I know you commented a little bit already on the other series that have been going on in the WCHA, but Minnesota State hosting Alaska. I believe Alaska gave the Mavericks their last loss. Mavericks have like won their last 11 games or something like that.
Yeah, they're loaded. You know, you don't want to play them in a series. They're going to be a tough team to beat in a series. You can do a job in a one game deal. But you know, we going into the year, you know, I picked them number one, obviously, and as did probably everybody else. Not that I'm a rocket scientist for sure. But I felt they had the best recruiting class in the country with Yaremko and them. And then Yaremko got off to such a slow start and now he's on fire. Mm-hmm. So they have everything. They have a few defensemen back there that can sign. They with the addition of Lackavy and goal, you know, they've got the goaltending that they're comfortable with to make a run. They have the firepower up front. They're good on special teams. They have a tremendously high compete level. And they'll have home ice advantage going through. So, tough road for Alaska going in. Not that they can't have it, but it's a tough road.
Huntsville has a tough task to play at the Barry Event Center, Northern Michigan, getting home ice. And even though those two teams split in the four-game series throughout the year, and Alabama actually won one of their games at the Barry Event Center, tough task, I think, for Huntsville. But they certainly could pull the upset.
I like them. I'm not saying that they're going to win. I'm not, but I think that they're a dangerous team. Huntsville's got a tremendous power play. Surprisingly, you know, underrated. Like they get in the zone, they create things. You know, they have the guys. They have a few defensemen. Kessner's had a great year. If they can get the goaltending to carry them, that's. I mean, I'll guarantee you that Northern Michigan is like they're working really hard right now because the two teams are similar. They both skate. They have grit. Saulnier's, you know,
he is good.
If he can keep his head on, he's a tremendous hockey player. They have, you know, that's gonna be a fun series to watch. Both teams are quality teams.
And then you got Ferris State at Bowling Green, which you really don't know what could happen there. Bowling Green's tough to beat at home, but yeah. The Bulldogs, we know how tough they are against us.
Yeah, never underestimate the job that Bob Daniels will do. He does a great job of getting his teams ready to play, especially at playoff time. So, another good series to watch. There's gonna be some really good series, which you want. You want that parity. You want that balance in the league. It makes everybody better. You want teams in the national tournament. Be great if our league would somehow get three teams in the national tournament this year.
Coach, so what's the plan this week? Obviously school and the guys leaving Wednesday night to get down there.
Yeah, we'll leave Wednesday. We'll practice and then we'll leave and then we'll have a good skate on Thursday and we'll get ready. You know, I'll tell you a funny story we're talking about last week is Brian Brewster. You know, he's saying that we should back off a little bit last week and guys might be a little tired and things like that. And I'm just kidding. They're mentally tired. We backed off and we had two really good games. So Brew kind of looked at me, you know, Coach, we did. And I'm talking to him about, how do we proceed? And he's like, well, you know, we kind of had two pretty good games this week and you might want to try to do the same thing again. So we have such a great staff. I'm so happy. It was a hard decision to make a change in coaching this, you know, to do what I did. But I love Brooksy's been absolutely tremendous. Dallas has been absolutely tremendous. Brew does so much more than you know, just being, you know, the guys have such a confidence in him. Tyler Shalast is, you know, he tears them down physically and builds them up emotionally. He does an incredible job. Mikey Stevens does, you know, he does an unbelievable job. He's always keeping everything light around the locker room. And you got Matthew and Anthony. We have such a great staff, and Bruce support staff. Such a great staff that are all so totally invested in what we do. It reminds me so much back at, you know, when we were winning national titles at Lake State, of the group. Jeff Jackson totally encapsulated himself around hockey. And we have that. We have that here. We have that dynamic, and I think, and I enjoy going every day to the rink.
Coach, have a great trip down there. We'll see you. Bemidji State is the team we're playing at Bemidji. Friday night, 8 o'clock is the start, 7:30 pregame. Saturday night, 8 o'clock, 7:30 pregame. If a third game is needed, that game will be at 6 o'clock Eastern Time, 5:30 pregame here on Mix 93. That's the Joe Schoenhauer here on Mix 93.